take, let us assume, a third toke. Long and slow, you vaporize, and you take it in and in and in, and there is a sound like the crumpling of a plastic bread wrapper, or the crackling or the flame, and a tone, and there is this.
You're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio 93.5 FM CGLY, broadcasting live from Nelson and over the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicoopradio.com.
There is a cheer. The gnomes have learned a new way to say who.
Welcome, this is Fane of the Cosmos Infinite Moment, and I'm your host, Dustin Sunflower. Reverend Demers is still in his hermetic seal somewhere in the deep mountains of the Kootenais. On today's show, we're going to be covering the moon. Tonight is the full moon at about 2 a.m. It will be hitting its peak. Right now it's kind of cloudy out there, so you might get glimpses of her shining pearl. But we have dug into the vaults. This radio show has been around since this radio station started, and I remember the heady days of the Jam Factory location when there was many a doobie puffed out on the deck, and even times shots of high octane brews, and we would launch out into the extremes. Well, I had lost my archive for quite a while, and tonight we're going to be unveiling an archive that comes from 2001, November 2001, and it will feature such high heroes as Ian Hunter. And it's a talk about Moon, Menzies, the Blood, and all things to do with the moon, a woman's moon. And there's a bunch of guest speakers, and it's a really good one, so stay tuned. We'll be doing a few news items first, such as, folks, you might have heard the whole kind of crazy rap that cannabis has always gotten for damaging brain cells. Well, the truth is out, and that is that cannabis actually helps you grow brain cells. A new study out from Science News Saskatchewan, we'll find out about that. Melissa Etheridge, we'll also find out about the refugee Stephen Tuck and his horrible encounter, and hopefully I'll be able to get around to the Russian Banya. So stay tuned. This is Fane of the Cosmos. Glad to be in the studio, and we will be talking with you soon. Let's go immediately to an aphrodisiac scratch.
What's up, bitch?
No,
did he pick me up?
You're gonna be the referee.
Without faith, it's thank you, G.
And that's our news.
Heavy psychology.
We're talking about a subject that is important to parents everywhere. The subject, sex education.
An ejaculation in your sleep is called a seminal emission or nocturnal emission.
Without faith, it's thank you, G.
And that's our news.
Heavy psychology.
We're talking about a subject that is important to parents everywhere. The subject, sex education.
An ejaculation in your sleep is called a seminal emission or nocturnal emission. Having some physical contact in her sleep.
Masturbation had serious consequences, the whole world would be a little wacky?
You've said it facetiously, Mal. Now, parents should be aware that in some rare instances, masturbation may become a social problem when it becomes so habitual that it's done publicly.
Oops. Wrong channel.
That was DJ Kubert with Afro Dizzy Scratch. Now, this is from the Vancouver Sun. Moments after Stephen Tuck regained consciousness Friday, Canadian border security officers slapped him in handcuffs and whisked him out of St. Paul's Hospital emergency ward, catheter and all. All one of a number of high-profile American medical marijuana refugees, Tuck's hopes of an 11th-hour appeal halting his return to the U.S. were dashed. He is now on his way to face pot-growing charges in California and potential federal charges related to his flight from prosecution. The 38-year-old pot activist said he deserved protection because he claims to have donated thousands of pot seeds to Canada, Health Canada's fledgling medical marijuana program when he entered the country 5 years ago. Severely injured during a stint in the U.S. military, Tuck requires massive doses of painkillers that leave him nauseous. He smokes marijuana, as do many cancer and AIDS patients, to relieve that sick feeling. He was admitted to St. Paul's around noon Thursday, complaining of severe intestinal cramps. He was catheterized, medicated, and released. He was readmitted Friday morning in extreme pain. Doctors treated him throughout the morning. About lunchtime, three Canadian Border Services Agency enforcement officers arrived at the hospital. Shortly afterwards, they bundled him into a silver-gray Ford Explorer and whisked him away. Calls by the Sun to the officer who oversaw the takedown were not returned. Tuck's case is important because he is one of hundreds, perhaps thousands, say some lawyers, of U.S. citizens who fled to Canada along what is known as the Underground Marijuana Railroad. My need for medical cannabis is the central point in my seeking the protection of Canada. I might not survive due process if I were deprived of cannabis while being held on bail awaiting trial, Tuck told me shortly after he learned he again faced repatriation. I was advised by my attorney to flee for my life. A well-known member of the BC Compassion Society, the city's medical pot dispensary, Tuck had his refugee claim denied last year and he was ordered out of the country. He asked for a review, however, on grounds that he faced cruel and unusual treatment because of the harsh American drug laws. Citizenship and Immigration Canada concluded there was no such risk and told Tuck to report to the border agency in Surrey Thursday to be surrendered to U.S. authorities. The department believes Tuck should be returned to the U.S. because there is no expert evidence to support his medical claims and his alleged donation to Health Canada is irrelevant. Tuck was unable to persuade the federal court earlier this week to intervene. When he did not present himself as required by the departure order, the border agency moved in to arrest him. Here we have another case where, on behalf of the American government, Canadian officials are doing heinous things to people. I don't care where they're from, what they're doing, but no Canadian person, citizen, police officer, immigration official should be taking a man out of a hospital bed with a catheter in, IV, in serious illness, and scoot him off in a car down to be deported to the States. Many of you might know, I can't remember the activist's name from California, same thing, growing medical marijuana. He died in jail just 2 days after being put in jail because he was denied his medical cannabis. We as Canadians cannot condone such behavior from any one of our citizens. We have to be a compassionate society. We have to be a society that protects sick people, even if we have to piss off our American brothers and sisters. Here's a tune from Immortal Technique.
Freedom of speech, motherfucker.
I got no string to hold okay. me down to make me fret.
Something for the kids. Step in the club smoothly with the L in my hand. Bitches know that I'm a freak like the Elephant Man. Intelligent plans, fuck a record deal. I want development land with my benevolent clan. And that's the reason that I only trust my fam. 40,000 records sold, 400 grand. Fuck a middleman, I won't pay anyone else. I'll bootleg it and sell it to the streets myself. I'd rather be that than signed and stuck on a shelf. And because of this, executives try to diss me. Racism frozen in time like Walt Disney. And now they say they want to get me signed to the major. If I switch up my politics and change my behavior, trying to tell me what the rhyme about over the beat. Bitch niggas that never spent a day in the street. But I repeat that, nobody can hold my reins. I put the truth on tracks, niggas, simple and plain. I guess to America, I'm a disaster. Oh, no. A slave that was destined to own his masters. Independent in every single sense of the word. I say what I want, you fucking little sensitive herb. This is America. I thought we had freedom of speech. But now you want to try to control the way that I speak. And O'Reilly, you think you a patriot?
Yeah, right.
You ain't nothing but a motherfucking racist bitch. Full of hatred, pressing a button, trying to eject me. But I don't got no motherfucking deal with Pepsi. No corporate sponsor telling me what to do. Asking me to tone it down during an interview. Trying to minimize the issue, but I'm keeping it large. I love the place I live, but I hate the people in charge. Speaking is hard when you got strings attached, so I'ma say it for you, cause I don't got none of that. And if you didn't understand what I spit at your brain, hey yo son, let this little nigga explain. Come on, son, y'all niggas know the way that I do. ImmortalTechnique.com live for you. And I know sometimes it be making you nervous the way I smash puppet rappers that belong in a circus. You motherfuckers just can't compare. Looking for a fan base that's no longer there. I know that you're scared and you're hiding up in the cut. But this is freedom of speech, nigga, tell them what's up. Word, nigga, fuck John Ashcroft. Nigga, fuck Fox News. Fuck those snake-ass bitches trying to manipulate your opinion, telling you what to think. Word the fuck up, nigga. Like, we invading niggas because we want to free them. You racist motherfucker. You don't give a shit about those people. You can suck my dick.
Relax, Tech, relax.
Another rum and coke in the bar, nigga. It's my day off. Word up. Fuck. For the kids. Ah! For the kids. Bandits.
Welcome back. That was Immortal Technique with Freedom of Speech. Now, many of you might know the singer Melissa Etheridge. Well, Melissa Etheridge says she smoked medical marijuana to help with the side effects of chemotherapy during her treatment for breast cancer. The 44-year-old singer, who was diagnosed over a year ago, is now cancer-free. Instead of taking 5 or 6 prescriptions, I decided to go a natural route and smoke marijuana, Etheridge said in an interview to Air Sunday on Dateline NBC. When asked how her doctors reacted, Etheridge said every single one was, oh yeah, that's the best help for the effects of chemotherapy. The singer said she smoked marijuana every day for her pain and symptoms of, the minute I didn't feel it, I stopped. The use of marijuana with doctor's recommendation is legal in California and 9 other states, but is against federal law. Asked if she was concerned about federal prosecution, Etheridge replied, no, I didn't worry, but it was worth it. She recently released a new greatest hits album, The Road Less Traveled, including a new song, I Run for Life, which is dedicated to the fight against breast cancer. Right on, there we go. Another sweet tale of cannabis healing in the nation. Another news story. This is from the Science News Saskatchewan. High times for brain growth. Marijuana-like drug. Here we go again, folks. In the stoner stereotype, pot smokers and dying brain cells go hand in hand. However, new research suggests the situation may be more uplifting than that. A drug that functions as concentrated marijuana does and may spur neurogenesis, the process by which the brain gives birth to new nerve cells. Previous research had suggested that neurogenesis happens only in select locations in the brain, such as the hippocampus, a region involved in learning and memory. Some studies have shown that this process is inhibited by most illicit drugs such as cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. However, says Xia Zhang of the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon, marijuana's effect on neurogenesis has not been clear. He and his colleagues started investigating this mystery by searching cells cell services in live cultured slices of rat hippocampus for receptors that respond to marijuana and a few other similar drugs called cannabinoids. They reasoned that if marijuana affected neurogenesis in the hippocampus, then cells in that area must have a way to recognize the drug. Sure enough, 95% of hippocampus cells responsible for neurogenesis showed evidence of cannabinoid 1 receptors, one of two receptors that respond to cannabinoid drugs. Next, Zhang's team incubated samples of rat hippocampus with a solution containing HU210, a drug that stimulates CB1, cannabinoid receptor 1, with a strength of 100 times greater than that of pot. Other rat hippocampus cells were incubated with the same solution minus the drug, or with AM281, a drug that blocks CB1 receptors. After 2 days, the researchers found a significant increase in the number of new brain cells in the samples incubated with HU2110, but no significant increase of such cells in other samples. Finally, the researchers injected adult rats with various doses of HU210. A high-dose injection seemed to make no significant difference in the number of new nerve cells. However, animals injected with high daily doses of the drug over the course of 2 weeks had about a 30% more newborn nerve cells than did rats given AM281, or a solution without either drug. Animals given the 2-week course of HU210 also showed less anxiety and depression-like behavior than rats not given the drug. When researchers irradiated the rats' hippocampi with X-rays, which kill off new neurons, animals given HU210, or cannabinoids, responded to these tests much as did animals that didn't receive the drug. These results suggest that while these new neurons probably don't increase intelligence, they could be responsible for anti-anxiety and anti-depressive effects, said Zhang. He and his team report their findings in November Journal of Clinical Investigation. While data suggests that cannabinoid drugs can accelerate neurogenesis are interesting and potentially promising, it's too early to tell whether high doses of marijuana over long periods have a similar effect on depression and anxiety in people, says Ron Duman, a neuroscientist at Yale University. There's very little clinical evidence demonstrating that cannabinoid administration produces an antidepressant response, he says. Antidepressant response, but he did not deny the fact that it may increase neurogenesis, which is the production of new brain cells. So, yes, folks, you heard it here first on Fading the Cosmos. Thanks, Paul D., for the heads up. Smoking pot can increase your brain cells. The whole fry pan with the frying egg thing, it's not true. Losing your brain cells is a myth. Cannabis can actually help you grow more brain cells. So if you want to have more brain cells, smoke some cannabis today. We at Fane of the Cosmos have been trying to grow more brain cells for a number of years now, and are hoping that by smoking more cannabis, that we will be able to have better brains, eh? This is Boogie Down Productions with Criminal Mind Geek.
Boogie Down Productions will always get paid. We'll take the wackest song and make it better. Remember to let us into your skin, cause then you'll begin to master rhyming. Criminal minded, you've been blinded. Looking for a style like mine, you can't find it. They are the audience, I am the lyricist. Sometimes the suckers on the side gotta hear this page. A rage, yet I'm not in a cage. Free as a bird to fly about on stage. Ain't here for no frontin', just to say a little something. Your suckers don't like me cause you're all about nothing. However, I'm really fascinating to the letter. My all around performance gets better and better. My English grammar comes down like a hammer. You need style, I need to pull your file. I don't beg favors, you're kissing other people's. I write and produce myself just as fast. Keep my hair like this, got no time for Jerry curls. Attracting only women, got no time for little girls. Cause girls look so good, but their brain is not ready. I don't know, I'd rather talk to a woman, cause her mind is so steady. So here we go. I'm not a musical maniac, a beat boy fanatic. I'm simply made use
answer what was upstairs in the attic. I've listened to these MCs back when I was a kid, but I bust more shots than they ever did. I mean, this is not the best of KRS, it's just a section. But how many times must I point you in the right direction? You need protection when I'm on the mic, because my mouth is like a 9mm with height. You're a kid, I'm a teacher, you're a B, but I'm a scholar. If this was a class, well, it would go right under drama. See, kings lose crowns, the teachers stay intelligent. Talking big words on the mic is still irrelevant, especially when you're not college material. Wake up every morning to your Lucky Charms cereal. DJ Scott LaRock has a college degree. Blast Mass and KRS writes poetry. I won't go deeper in the subject because that gets me bored. Just a shame to know some MCs on the mic are fraud, saying styles like this to create a diss. But if you listen, you listen. I am a musician. Rapping on the mic like this to me is fine, because if I really want a battle, I will pull out a knife. You can see that Scott LaRock and I are mentally minded. In other words, we're both criminal minded. We're not promoting violence, we're just having some fun. He's Scott LaRock, I'm KRS-One. Never off beat, cause it don't make sense. Grab the microphone, relax, and not tense. You waited, debated, and now you activated. A musical genius that cannot be duplicated. See, I have the formula for rocking the house. If you cannot rock a party, do not open your mouth. It's that simple. The booty cosmetic for your pimple. Take another look, because the gear is not wrinkled. The K, the R, the S, the O, the N, the E. Say I'm rhyme for 87, not for 1983. Well versed, to rehearse, in my rhymes are my curse. Originality is first, but the suckers worse. Allow me to include, I have a very stable mood, poetic education of a high altitude. I'm not an MC, so listen, call me poet or musician, a genius when it comes to making music with ambition. I'm cool, collected with the rhyme I directed, don't wanna be elected as the king of a record, just respected by others as the man with the solution, an artist of the 80s, and it left his contribution on wax, the lax. 24 tracks. After years of rocking parties, now I picked up the knack, because everything that flows from out my larynx take years of experience and bottles of Beck's. I cannot seem to recollect the time I didn't have sex. Is it real or is it Memorex? I'm living in a city known as New York State. Sucker MCs gotta wait while I translate. I hang with real live dreads with knowledge in their hands. People with ambition and straight up musicians. Although our lives have been so uprooted, I haven't included or get suited. So take me to the letter of the KRS-One. Means knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everyone. You look at me and laugh, but this is your class. It's an all-out discussion of the suckers I be crushing. So now you are awakened to the music I be making. Never duplicated and also highly cultivated. Don't get frustrated, cause nothing has been traded. Only activated, the turn up very complicated. Not separated from my DJ. You see, my voice is now faded. I'll see you folks around the way. Criminal minded. Criminal minded.
David Malmo Levine, 24-hour pot activist and sometimes pot dealer. You're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio, 93.5 FM, CJLY in Nelson, 96.5 in Kootenai Lake. Live streaming at www.kootenaicoopradio.com. Stay tuned, there's more to come.
All right. This hour of Fane of the Cosmos is brought to you by El Taco Mexican Restaurant. Some of the best food that Nelson has to serve up. Get down. You're going to love it. Now, just as I promised, in the studio with me tonight is me. is me, Ian Hunter, and a bunch of other folks. Here we go. This is a flashback from November 2001. This is how I used to start the show back in the old days, folks. This is Shambhala from Beastie Boys. Welcome to the Church of the Universe Hour.
Hello and good evening. This is your host, Jason Smith, and there's a little bit of feedback on my voice tonight for some reason. Not feedback, but distortion.
And I'm Dustin Sunflower, and this is the
Church.
Fane of the Universe. What was it again?
Fane of the Universe.
Fane of the Universe moment.
Moment.
Here we go. Dive in. It's your turn. That's so hilarious, folks. That was before we had changed the actual name to Fane of the Cosmos. This is from 2001, back at the old radio studios, when we were still calling it Fane of the Universe moment. I'm just going to speed it up a little here so we can get into right into the program. Mutiny Co-op Radio. The most cosmic radio in the land.
At the most cosmic moment, and it's weekend updates. This is the crazy church of the world here. Tonight we're going to be talking about some crazy things.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's going to be goddesses coming into the studio tonight.
Nice, nice.
So
somehow that seems appropriate.
The patriarchal microphones will be turned this evening.
Nice. Seems like it's about time for that.
Yep, it's good. We need some good poetry and some... just
some more non-intellectual
energy.
And just more of that yin kind of thing going on. It seems like we get pretty... youngish on
we
this
get
station
carried
quite
away
a bit.
Sometimes.
Those crazy boys. So yeah, we'll do some goddess moments here. Play some music as always. Maybe talk a little bit about whatever's on our minds as we usually do, which will probably revolve around drugs, sex, magic, religion, all the beautiful things that go through our minds all the time when we're feeling really good.
And the humor of existence.
And the basic joke of it all.
Yeah. We take ourselves seriously and then we undo ourselves from seriousness.
Exactly.
At all times.
Yeah. Seems like the serious things we do are just processes of undoing ourselves more. So it all kind of comes together full circle that way.
I don't know what's happening in the heavens this week. Anything interesting? We're descending into a new moon.
Yeah. Internally, I've had a lot of cosmic things go on this past week. It seems like a lot of people I've talked to are feeling a lot of shaky energy. Like things are losing a little stability. I mean, not that they seem to progressively be losing stability.
Look,
every day.
Buddy, I just made it out of Mercury retrograde. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, I don't know.
Lots of chaos.
I'm feeling actually more stable myself.
Good for you.
But I think it's because the doors are turning in. You know, it's the winter time, so it's more that time where the shutters... you know, with the mirrors, they're like shining out for the summer, and then the shutters slowly start to close, and the light, and then it gets shot inwards,
right.
And then you're like... and then that can be painful.
Right.
When
the hinges
of change are creaking, it's like... that's happening with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know what you
Either
mean.
You've had a really good year and it's time to beam down on some thankfulness, or you've had a pretty, you know, whatever year and it's time to do some inner reflection and take care of what's most important for the winter time.
Yeah, but so. Inner sampling can be hard sometimes, because in the summer you're just belting out and you don't even realize, because it's the season of what you're doing.
Totally.
But then the winter comes and you realize it's the introspection time, and it can be kind of that change, you know? It can be hard.
Yeah.
But sad at times, and you know, the leaves are all gone, and can be kind of hard sometimes.
For sure. But it seems to be worth the work. It seems to be worth the trouble.
Oh, definitely.
Every day, you know, it gets fuller and fuller. I mean, we're just here to experience, or, you know, my perspective, I'm just experiencing more and more of myself, be it light or dark, and coming to terms with more and more of the universe that way, with myself as a microcosm of the whole.
Totally. Could you imagine an existence without seasons, where it was always summer, or always winter, or always spring? It would be no fun. There would be no time for flavors of life, you know?
Right.
You'd just be trapped.
The seasons.
In the one thing.
Yeah.
And forget what it's like to have a winter where everything's sleeping, and the crunch of frosty snow, and the, I just thought of snowboarding there for a moment. But like, you wouldn't have those moments if you're in the jungle.
That's true.
I like four seasons.
I like four seasons too, in fact.
Whoa.
We've got the goddess energy in the house.
Whoa, I just... Whee! There's a sea... There's now four seasons. Ian's in the studio. Whoa, Ian, here. Mic test. You on there?
Yep.
Okie do. Treble. Treble. Bass. It's over here. The red mic. Oh no, actually, yeah, red mic. Looks like it. Okie doo.
Introducing to the folks of the shelter.
Okay, wait a second. Let's get all microphones on here. Okay, there we go.
Okay, I am introducing the good folks of Nelson. Do we show?
Good evening, Nelson.
And Michelle's going to give us our Mayan calendar fix for the day.
Yes.
And do 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 do. Today is planetary moon, red planetary moon, which is. The focus today is planetary moon of manifestation. Manifest. Manifest, perfect, and produce. Red moon signifying purification, universal water, and flow. So today is a day to manifest the flow. Yes. Guided by the guiding glyph today is Red Earth, which is about evolution, navigation, and synchronicity. So good focuses for this evening. I'm subconsciously aligned, synchronized.
Tomorrow.
So I guess as we go through the night, we'll be moving into the next glyph, which will be White Dog, which is oak in the Mayan language, and that's about love, heart, and loyalty. In the process, moving towards the loyalty and the heart. And the love that we all have within us. Yeah, guided by, let me see what the guide is. Oh, the guide is also White Dog. So tomorrow is an 11 day, which is spectral tone of liberation. And that tone affects the oak glyph, White Dog glyph, which is love and loyalty. So the idea of liberating ourselves into that heart chakra energy. And guided by that heart energy at the same time. Yeah, so everybody out there, focus in on that dog energy, that just loving, loyal energy, wanting to do anything for that synchronizing of the heart.
And remember to wear white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the energy's white.
So maybe we should we're gonna get to a song and then talk about our Shina Moon Lodge experience.
Yes.
Okay, have a little breaky break here. Macy Gray, here we go.
Macy Gray.
Super love is something that they say is very rare. In the dark and in your world, it's everywhere. The way you love me down, it's the way you love me down. Every time we kiss, you bring out the woman in me. And every time you holler out my name, you set me free. And I am a sexomatic, Venus freak when I'm with you. And I will stop it only when you tell me to. I am an automatic, easy freak all over you. Some. We are the genius of love. Feel like an X-rated movie star. It's the way you love me down. It's the way you love me down. Every time we kiss, you bring out the woman in me. And every time you holler out my name, you set me free. And I am a sex so mad.
This hour of Fane of the Cosmos is brought to you by El Taco Mexican Restaurant.
Woo!
Love it. Get down, get some good food there. Good folks, good people. El Taco Mexican Restaurant is sponsoring this hour of Fane of the Cosmos. Welcome back. You're listening to 93.5 FM, Kootenai Co-op Radio. We're back.
Aloha.
And, Erin is in the studio.
Erin Gobra.
Gobra?
Gobra. Irish roots.
Oh, Erin
Gobra. I don't know what it means, though.
I know.
Something like the jewel of Ireland, something like that.
Yes. And if the leaves of the trees were pure gold and the waters of the world pure silver, she would have given them all away.
Giving birth to the jewel. Blessings, blessings all.
So why don't we just...
banter. Well, before the break, we were talking about the Moon Lodge ceremony, which was, I think, a pretty historic event, definitely historic event for the Kootenays, and it seems for Western Canada as well. This intentional community that's been forming over the last 4 or 5 years near Winlaw has been having a moon lodge being constructed over the last few months. And so about 50 or 60 women have been contributing to this. And I somehow became one of the two men to be privileged enough to actually go through this moon lodge opening ceremony. Why I don't know, but
congratulations!
Oh, thank you. And the other man was our Reverend Dan Lorendorf, who started this program and is occasionally on it. But it was an awesome ceremony.
Were you guys there?
Were you Gaias there?
This guy was not there in body, but in spirit, but our wonderful goddess Ishelle did. Maybe you'd like to illuminate some of the goddess mysteries that were traveled that wonderful day.
I would love to. I would bleed to.
Ebb and flow, ebb and cycle too.
Yes, exactly. The flow of energy that was running through everyone that day was really high. Kriya and Ashala, two of our goddess energies that do so much magic in the valley and in Winlaw, have been working on this for probably about 3 moon cycles, and finally brought the people together in one of the most beautiful structures built by hand, everything built and cut and put together by hand with so much love. And we were able to share so many mysteries. Menstrual mysteries, menses, months, moon cycles, moons. So much wisdom. So ancient. Blood flowing from the ancient goddess. It was a blessing.
And it was, I don't know how I ended up there. As a man, the funny thing was that I actually knew a lot of the women who were there from, like, Silu, who was one of the four crones who was there. Silu Corn Woman. She had written a book on menstruation that I'd gone through last year. And I've known her for years. And there's quite a few other women there who I'd known from the coast and different incarnations and such like that. But the strange thing is that in going to this, it seemed to be perfectly in sync with a lot of the research I've been doing lately on the whole kind of menstrual women's mysteries, what it means, why it's repressed, why we're phobic about it, and it's a pretty interesting story. It's key to, in fact, the whole kind of oppression of women and the oppression of alchemy, essentially, is what's tied in with the whole repression of the menses and then the phobia surrounding that.
Well, it's said that a woman has her utmost power and creativity under her moon cycle. Reflection of the moon is the utmost of power, and in most cultures, like Hinduism. And even the Taoists revere women who is menstruating as powerful, and she retreats away from her family to have dream time and meditation and take sacred time for herself. And so as I see the Ashina ritual as a reclaiming of this on a community level, and that has just amazing healing repercussions for humanity too. For women and for men to honor this wonderful cycle of the goddess, the reclaiming.
And it was really, really empowering to see young women and just beginning to moon, just beginning to realize the mysteries and the ancient wisdom that they hold in their bodies, that they're beginning to flow. And to be able to share that wisdom in a really sacred way, because that power has been taken away for so long. And these girls giggling and kind of finding things kind of humorous, and yet subtly feeling the power and the magic that we all carry as women. And being able to be there, I think, is really the younger generations are the ones that are really going to benefit from ourselves as women empowering ourselves and sharing that wisdom, because our children and the women that are coming into the world now beginning to flow are the ones that are going to carry that on.
I wanted to share something that from some of the men who are there. We're the only two men. Dan and I were the only two men to go through the entire ceremony. But there's some other men associated with Ashina, and they had told me about the Starfire ritual. And the research that's been done surrounding that, and it's by the same author. The person who's actually talking about or writing about that currently is a person who did the Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. And it turns out that the that I have a droop. For those who aren't listening, I'm having a drooping mic. Yeah.
You need to put some Viagra on that damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rather flaccid stand.
We'll have to get some of that Cali reinforcement.
Right, and it turns out actually that that Cali, as I learned yesterday from this, calendar or calendar comes from Cali. So it's calendar is actually what the origin is.
Calendar.
Calendar. Because Cali is like the whole like transition of the ages and such. But I'm still kind of finding this here on my...
Just as the tribe of Horus, which was an ancient matrilineal tribe that was that used the menstrual blood in a really sacred way, was then perverted into the word whores, which is now used.
It was actually scarlet woman to Horus, scarlet to Horus to whores. And originally it meant beloved. But the scarlet women were the women who, under a special diet, and who were virgins prior to becoming pregnant, of course, that they were the ones who provided a certain elixir out of their menstrual fluid. And that elixir was the basis, or one of the bases, for early pre-metallurgic alchemy, as it turns out. And the Egyptians were totally into this. And it seems that the matrilineal line coming down from like the house of David leading to Jesus was going through the whole Virgin Virgo Mary down through the house of Magdalene and Mary Magdalene. And so where the kind of virgin archetypal thing twists on is the mother, the alleged virgin, but really Virgo, Mary, Jesus's mom, and Jesus's wife, Mary Magdalene, who was like the Knights Templar were charged with like guarding the Grail, the Holy Grail, and the Grail is symbolized as a cup, and the cup is actually where the menstrual blood is coming from, and so. It's a long story. It's fairly unbelievable until you actually get into it. But it turns out that the kingly line is actually the kinly line. So kin, and the kin is actually passed through the menses and the menstrual fluid and the line of the females. And so it's the female line of the House of Magdalene that was the kind of the original pre-human. Descendant line that the Knights Templar were protecting.
the cup, the symbol of the womb and the blood of Christ passed down.
Yeah, and it is actually the blood of Mary Magdalene. And the Notre Dame Cathedral was apparently dedicated not to the Virgin Mary, but to Mary Magdalene, the House of Magdalene and such.
I think it's René Le Chartier's is the name of the temple. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's like René Le Chartier's, and there's a internet site, www.renelachartiers.com, that has lots of amazing photographs from that site.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said pre-human origins?
Well, the Anunnakin, perhaps I'm not pronouncing it right, but presumably the people who actually built the temples in Egypt and who were like 9 to 15 feet tall, that their genetic modification of us humans, like, I guess, first of all, we had the gold mining model, and then we had the Adam and Eve model. And the Adam and Eve model was half or three quarters Anunnakin. And so the...
Sounds a bit like Enochian, even.
Enochian? Is it coming from... Is that pronounced?
Enochian is...
Well, the Enochian is later, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's 16th century Elizabethan stuff, but it just sounds similar.
But
and the spirits claim to be eternal, of course. I mean, they're not Renaissance spirits, right? Yeah, it sounds really similar. And they seem to have superhuman knowledge, reportedly.
And it's cyclical like that. The Nibiru planet comes near every 3,600 years, and at those points in human history are when math and architecture and music and everything goes off the map, because those gods, little g gods, are about with us, mixing about with us, and you know that's when great things happen. And it's due any time now too.
Presumably in 2012, or you know, give or take a calendar or a calendar.
Yeah, that's all really fascinating. So it sounds like you've been doing a long-term research project on this.
Well, it all seems to be converging in terms of where the drug war meets the war between the Catholics and the Protestants, and the Catholics and the Knights Templar, and the men versus the women, and the House of Noah versus the House of David, and then the turning of the Scarlet Woman into the Hur, and
New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It seems like one of the many things we're doing is re-empowering women to embrace both the virgin and the whore archetype within themselves.
Yeah, and to heal that.
Yeah, and to bridge the seeming gap or the invented even gap between those two. And then I guess the next thing we have to do is teach men how to be the warrior and the lover, and make sure that that happens on a communal scale as well. That's one of the issues I've been working with this week, and it's really interesting that we talk about these things right now.
Mm-hmm. In Tolkien, it's the warrior and the healer.
Oh.
And in Qigong, it's the warrior and the healer. You use martial arts in war, and then you use Qigong to heal afterwards. Mm-hmm. There's always that component, the warrior and then the healer, because you can fight a battle and you can go to those, you know, bloody depths, but after you have to heal what the wounds of war or battle or what, you know. So, and I couldn't believe it, because I was reading this about Qigong, and then reading The Lord of the Rings, he talks about Aragorn and how a king or a ruler or a warrior must also have the healing arts in order to be considered a high king. You can't just be powerful with your sword, you also have to know what herbs to pick and how to heal.
But it's also the tradition of the king or a kin was not to have power over, but it was chivalry. And it was that chivalrous tradition that was passed through by the Knights Templar and primarily through to King Arthur and his court and all that. And so that's really interesting. But Aaron?
I just had something to mention about the potent goddess who's menstruating. She is at the doorway of the other worlds. This is where the deepest process of the female fertile ova is being released from the body. All her psychic energy, all her fertile creative energy is being released. So This is the seed of the deepest part of the alchemical process of female creative power. And so we were called the whore because it is the deep seed of power. So really, it is the priestess, and it's Isis, and it's the initiatrix. And that has a lineage in tantric Buddhism. A lot of similarities with the blood ritual. And the blood of woman has very much inf-